Can you hear us okay? Because I don't even know where the mic's at.
I think it's behind the monitor.
Yep.
It's hooked up to the wire stuff here. First one is?
Yep.
The green arrow. That's right, the turtle story is up. You have to keep going until you get past all the little pretty pictures. All right, in the garden, the same here? Yeah, number 12, if you want to just click number right here. Let me put it up for you. In the garden is what we're seeing.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear calling on my ear, the Son of God is frozen, and he walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none of whom has ever known. He speaks in the sound of his voice, it's so sweet the birds are singing, and the melody that he gave to me is in my heart is ringing. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we carry them, none other has ever known. I stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, for he bids me go through the voice of love. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Okay. Mansion over the hilltop is the next one.
I'm satisfied with just the cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in this city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, not silver mine. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold. Though often tempted, tormented and tested, and like a prophet, my pillow of stone. And though I find here no permanent dwelling, I know he'll give me a mansion of my own. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder, we'll never more wonder, but walk the streets that are pure as gold. Don't think me poor or deserted or lonely. I'm not discouraged, I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a heart and a crown. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder, we'll never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold.
Amen. Okay, if you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for your presence. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness and blessing us with the latter rain. Please bless our faith, our wisdom, our discernment, our character, and our courage, so that we can do that which you have prophesied we will do. Thank you for letting the signs begin to follow your people. Thank you for giving us many opportunities to share this truth that you have given us with everyone that you put in our path. Thank you for this, Father. Thank you for changing the showbread on Sabbath, too, and blessing us with your presence like you do. And thank you for blessing all those that are on our prayer list, saved or lost. We pray for them all, especially those that are lost. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Okay, the page is locked in. Hold on. Let me get some water. Okay. Now, what I'm about to share, I think I touched on it almost 2 years ago, but I believe some of it bears repeating, especially since the Lord has been allowing more calamities to occur while at the same time allowing more souls to gather with us each Sabbath. And so this is an opportunity that we have to share what we see with the young in faith that have been led to join us. In the 1950s, can you guys hear that fan clicking above me? Okay, hold on, let me shut it off. Okay. Now, in the 1950s, many preachers declared that rock music would eventually become filled with murderous lyrics and blood-curdling screams. And due to its addictive nature, they also warned it would eventually take over the world and become part of society in all aspects of life in just a few years. Most that heard that from the preachers back then laughed at them and called them conspiracy theorists. Yet today, we do actually see demon-inspired songs becoming very popular. Worse yet, these songs are piped into office buildings, elevators, buses, and supermarkets, so everyone present is forced to listen to them. And not just the immoral, sexually toned music either. I mean, today they sing about killing cops, rape, suicide, drugs, and yes, even worshiping Satan outright. This is today's world. Still, if someone came up to you 50 years ago and told you this is how it was going to be now,
most would literally consider them, you know, conspiracy theorists. In the 1960s, there was the hippie and free love movement that some preachers warned would become a real problem for society if it was allowed to flourish unchecked. But most of the churches just mentioned it all in passing because they saw love involved. They never really touched on it to any great extent. And now we see society has indeed dropped to a new low with everything from sexual slavery to homosexuals getting married. In 1972, there was a video game named Pong that was nothing more than a white dot that traveled across a TV screen. I remember when we got it. If someone told you back then that in a few short years that comparatively innocent-looking game would lead to millions of computer games that would sell like hotcakes that graphically illustrate pornographic images, murders, rapes, thefts, wizardry, and actual satanic rituals with all the trimmings in them, symbols and all, you would, of course, laugh out loud at them as well as tell them they're paranoid and a conspiracy theorist. I know I would. But now we actually do have video games that do all that and more. And worse yet, most parents buy them for their children thinking they're safe because they're finding them on store shelves. Oh, they see the mature on there, and they think their children are mature enough to handle it. They never actually see the games and what goes on in the games. They don't have the time to sit down and play the game. And so the kid does. If you were one of these Christians that warned people that such games would spark an increase in murder rates and suicide, most would declare that you're a nut. But as statistics have proven in just the last 25 years, as the games became more graphic and violent, so did murders, suicides, and school shootings. But still, there's those people out there that declare that games don't do anything like that, or rock and roll music doesn't affect people in a bad way, or Hollywood movies, they're not that bad. In the middle of the 1970s, I noticed as a teenager that TV was becoming more and more suggestive in an immoral kind of way. Even then I knew and even mentioned it to some of my friends that if TV continued on in the course it was presently on, we would be able to get triple X-rated porn piped into our homes from television networks. And yes, all my friends just laughed out loud at me. But now we see cable TV stations doing just that. And no, I'm not a prophet. It was just easy to predict such a thing because I was just starting to watch how things were happening all around me by then and noticing how they have a tendency, these trends had a tendency to stay on track in one particular path. Again in the 1970s, if someone came up to you and told you that girls would be killing their own babies to keep their boyfriends as well as their girlish figure in a few years, people would laugh at them. They called them conspiracy theorists. Yet today, literally millions of precious little babies are murdered in abortion clinics each and every year. The main reason that they find? The statistics show that the girls fear that they would lose their boyfriends for two reasons. Number one, the boy doesn't want to be a daddy right now. And number two, if the girl gets fat, the boyfriend's going to get another girlfriend. So if someone walked up to you in the 1970s and told you that women would be marrying women or men would be marrying men in less than 30 years, yeah, most of us would laugh even then because we thought that's just too crazy. That is just impossible. Yet today, homosexual marriage is legal in many countries all around the world, including right here in the USA. What about sports? Our grandparents can tell us how boxing started out fairly sane. That is, of course, if you have a mind to call two men beating each other until one of them is unconscious sane. But still, even then, there were Christians that warned as many as they could that boxing would eventually lead to more violence in sports. Shortly after that, we saw professional wrestling as a form of entertainment, where the wrestlers would actually use razor blades to slice up their foreheads to make action pictures of them more bloody to sell more tickets to their events. Then we saw cage matches show up on TV, where the violence was escalated a bit higher for the sake of entertainment. Now, we actually have bare-knuckle fist fights where opponents often die in the ring on camera, and it's all just perfectly legal. And by the way, a young man just died in Australia while in the ring last Saturday night. It just happened again. Now, as we all know, this type of violence is a product of Satan and his puppets in Rome, who is prophesied to be called into action soon, wherein it will become legal to kill Christians. We know the Roman Colosseums were a favorite venue for Romans to kill Christians. And yes, that's quite barbaric by today's standards. There's no way modern man would ever stoop to such a level. Or would he? We know music leads to all sorts of evil activities, and we know sports has done this as well. Truth is, many rock songs today speak boldly against Christ and anyone that worships him. And we also know by looking at some videos on YouTube how sports arenas today react to Christians that hold up posters during televised sports events. Some have been beaten and dragged from stadiums while the crowds were cheering. Worse yet, the media has been favoring the term Christian terrorist ever since Eric Rudolph supposedly bombed an Olympic event in 2003, and even more so since the massacre of Norway last month. They call him a Christian terrorist even after he admitted he was into Darwinism. I mean, they've stopped it now, but for a few weeks, this guy was a Christian terrorist. We also know that 200,000 Christians die each and every year at the hands of Muslims, and another 175,000 are tortured every year by them as well. So the idea that killing Christians may one day become legal isn't so far-fetched after all, is it? Especially since we see there are some large drinking established bars or whatever. I don't even know how to explain it. I saw pictures of the inside of this one, I guess you can call it a bar, but it's huge. And they had like an arena on the inside of the bar. And it's right here in the States. And they have medieval fight nights where the guys dress up like knights in shining armor and they're going back and forth with those spears. And of course they break up real easy because they're not real, with the horses and everything. And then right there in the middle, they have a girl chained up to a pole with a life-size lion right next to her. And that's supposed to be entertainment, suggesting that killing Christians is somehow entertaining. So yes, Satan is indoctrinating his followers against us as we speak. This is kind of like what that one video I did recently about by beholding you become killers. This is what he's doing. The prophecy says they're going to kill Christians. Well, he's got to get people into that mindset. Otherwise, they're just not going to do it. It's only a matter of time before they act out on their sinful suggestions. So moving right along, we also see that Monsanto just received the go-ahead in June from Obama to bypass a Supreme Court decision that pushes GMO foods into the marketplace, where soon all dairy products and meats will be altered just enough to slowly sicken all people. Was this not prophesied by Sister White long ago? In Testimonies for the Church, Volume 7, page 135, it says, "Let the diet reform be progressive. Let the people be taught how to prepare food without the use of milk or butter. Tell them that the time will soon come when there will be no safety in using eggs, milk, cream, or butter because disease in animals is increasing in proportion to the increase of wickedness among men. The time is near when, because of the iniquity of the fallen race, the whole animal creation will groan under the diseases that curse our earth. There is no safety in eating of the flesh of dead animals, and in a short time, the milk of cows will be also excluded from the diet of God's commandment-keeping people. In a short time, it will not be safe to use anything that comes from the animal creation." So, and I think that one was, that second quote was from Pacific Union Recorder, November 7th, 1901. So due to the love of money in today's society, beef herders realized in the 1980s that feeding ground-up cows back to their own cows by mixing them into their feed would make their profits double in some areas. Remember we were talking about earlier about cannibalism and how it makes it an altered state of existence? Worse yet, with the cows, it caused what's called mad cow disease. Simple reality is cows are not created to eat cows. Thanks to this practice, much of the beef in the world is simply unsafe to eat for the simple fact that this disease can and does spread to humans by consumption. To hide this problem, the AMA, in agreement with the government, who is, you know, with the beef industry, has started to tag mad cow disease in humans as Alzheimer's. I had an article about this about a year or so ago, and it's in the archive somewhere. Just look up the word Alzheimer's. Even the milk of the infected cows has become unsafe. Well, that's obvious. And now they want to genetically modify the meat as well? And any doctor will tell you, poisons in the bloodstream always passes into the milk of the animal. This is why doctors will not give certain medications to mothers that are breastfeeding. They know what's in the blood always goes into the milk. Therefore, the milk, ice cream, butter, and yes, even cheese products can now contain mad cow infections in them. Of course, the disease won't be as concentrated in the milk, cheese, and butter as much as it is in beef, but the infection is still there, and you're going to be playing Russian roulette as you consume them. Just as we have learned in the news over the years that the first time a teenager tries cocaine, he drops dead, right? Why? Because his chemical makeup is just a tad bit different than his buddy who snorted on a daily basis. But he tries it for the first time and it kills him. Right? Well, what if your chemical makeup is in such a way where you drink some milk that has mad cow in it, and then eventually within a year, 10 years, who knows, it drives you nuts. And just so you know, ice cream would be even worse than beef, in my opinion, because it literally takes 10 gallons of ice cream of milk to make 1 gallon of ice cream. I don't know how they do it. I guess they condense it down some way to thicken it up. I mean, you got to. I mean, it's what they do is, I don't know, I saw an article on that many years ago, how they make ice cream. And to make this even more unnerving, it turns out now that chicken farmers have recently started feeding their chickens antibiotics, hormones, and arsenic, as well as keeping their lights on in all the chicken coops 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to generate unnatural feeding habits of the birds so as to make them grow larger for more profits when they go up for sale. These gluttonous birds now become unsafe to eat. I mean, the lack of sleep also causes the birds to become sickly in many different ways. And then the people eat them. Again, it's all about the money. Still, it's even worse here in the USA, where it's perfectly legal to mix into the chicken feed the cooked down cows to make the birds and their eggs even larger for sale. So now chickens and their eggs have become a valid source of mad cow disease in humans. Strange. You get mad cow disease from a chicken now. And decades ago, I managed a Brown's Chicken restaurant on the south side of Chicago, so I know all about how chickens are fed and bred, back then anyway. But then, the bird sizes were fairly normal. Today, however, it's quite a different story. In some grocery stores, I've noticed that chicken legs and wings, I mean, that would literally make a turkey proud. It looks to me that Ellen White got this one 100% correct, hands down, in the way that she predicted, you know, both cows and chickens and all dairy products in general are going to be diseased and unfit for food. So, now, here's something hard to swallow. Soon, all the vegetables will eventually become slow poisons too, as Monsanto's plans to continue to make seeds Roundup Ready. And what that means, that for those of you who don't know what Roundup Ready means, because I live out here on a farm, in farm country. I don't have a farm, but I live in farm country. And Roundup Ready seeds means the seed is genetically modified so that when the farmer sprays Roundup weed killer on his crops, all the weeds and all the grasses die. But the crop flourishes on. The seeds are genetically altered to allow the poisons of Roundup into their system, and then the people eat them. Right now, it's just mostly that we see it's going on right now, like soybean and corn. And the corn, most of the corn out here is feed corn. It's a toss-up between feed corn and the stuff they put in gasoline, ethanol. They use that for that, too. So that at least doesn't go into human consumption. However, if they feed this to the corn, these corn to the cows, then eventually the cows, whether they're dairy or beef cows, it's going to end up in human consumption. And so this is why we see that it's illegal in some states to grow your own food. A sick nation is not only a controlled nation, it's one that makes legalized drug pushers, or as Proxy calls them, sorcerers, very rich. Are you aware that when it speaks of Antichrist and how he starts to control the masses in Revelation 18:23, that it says, by their sorceries were all nations deceived? The word sorcery comes from the Greek word pharmakia, Strong's number 5331. This is where we get our modern term pharmacy from. Now, as you read the labels of the processed foods in the market, or see the fluoride in the drinking water, or look up to see the chemtrails wafting down from above, or realize that the veggies and the meats that are in the market are now going to be gorged with genetically modified properties, you then realize this prophecy has been fulfilled in our day. This is why we do most of our shopping, like when it comes to like certain foods, especially, well, I mean, we don't like doing the processed food thing, of course, but there's a lot of stuff you can get from health food stores. Now, we don't eat meat at all because I understand that sooner or later we're going to be in heaven where there is no meat eating. So I'm just getting my diet ready for that, you know, just like the Lord got the Israelites on a vegan diet before they were allowed to go into the promised land. Now, when the population gets sick, the government-controlled health care gets rich. They also gain a much better control of the masses when they're sick. Many have already begun to see that if you don't bow to their demands, they hold back the medication that helps you eat the foods that's going to kill you in the first place. Again, it's always about the money. That's why it's so easy for Satan to do this right now. All corporations worship money just as prophecy predicted they would long ago. In 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 to 10, it says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I mean, there's nothing wrong with money. You got to have it. But the love of money, I mean, mankind has proven in just the last few decades that he will do absolutely anything for money. I remember when I was a kid, certain things were just simply not allowed in the market. I mean, you go to Europe or any other country other than the USA, and you'll see that they still do that. They still don't allow certain things in the market because they know it's cancerous. It causes problems. But here in America, the government is mostly a corporation, a money-making corporation. So the AMA and the beef industry and Kraft Foods are all in cahoots because they know if, you know, one hand washes the other. If you get the people sick, we get to make money by giving them drugs, the AMA says. So it's just, you know, like I was saying a minute ago, mankind will literally do absolutely anything for money, even if it means making a profit by killing his own children. That being said, if all this is beginning to sound like a weird Hollywood movie, it's only because truth has now become far stranger than fiction. Jesus said in Matthew 24:37 that it'll be as it was in the days of Noah, or so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And how was it in Noah's day? Genesis 6:5 says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil, was only evil continually. I mean, does that not sound like today? This is why that one man that I met years ago on the street told me that he believes Satan's stronger than Jesus, because most people are wicked. I mean, this is our society. This is today. The truth is, what we see happening daily was prophesied long ago. This much we know. But most Christians today merely notice it all in passing, especially if they go to churches that don't preach prophecy. If you look at some of the gore and the perversity that is reported in the news reports on a daily basis, you find that our reality today is exactly what the preachers of as little as 30 years ago warned us about. Now, to continue on the same line of prophesied madness, right now hundreds of Muslim mosques are being built all over the world, and especially in Europe. Even Pat Robertson, a proven short-robed Jesuit, has done some positive news reports on this, as well as proclaimed Muhammad a prophet on his so-called Christian Believers television network. In the Quran, Muhammad supposedly states Islam will overtake the Roman Church and control world politics as Rome does today. But since we know Rome actually invented Islam, their false prophet, and their so-called holy book, we know that these aren't prophecies at all. These are actual plans made by the Vatican under Satan's seduction so as to make it appear Islam is doing the evils and not Rome, as well as at the same time making it look like Muhammad is a prophet. This is exactly how Satan made people think it was Hitler killing the Jews, when all along it was the Vatican. What many fail to realize is the remnant people are onto them. We know prophecy says Christians will be beheaded when they refuse to bow to the Vatican's mark, and we know that today Islamic Sharia law is the only law on the planet that sanctions the beheading of Christians. The prophecy is sure. It will happen. but most will fail to see who's behind it once again. Just like they missed it in Hitler's day, they're going to miss it in our day. So getting back to the reality and how it has all changed so drastically in just a few short years, I know many of you have seen my Strange Wildlife Deaths page on the website. But for the sake of those that are new to all this, have you noticed how literally millions of animals, insects, birds, and fish are dying all over the world right now? Have you also noticed the calamities and how they increased in just the last year or two? And it's not just the calamities that are increasing. In some places, we are seeing literally hundreds of earthquakes a day, small quakes mostly, but quakes nonetheless. We also see storms, floods, airplane crashes, boats sinking, train crashes, volcanoes erupting, salmonella outbreaks just the other day, as a matter of fact, famines, riots, wars, bus crashes. And an article just came down, 35 people died, what was it, yesterday, in a bus crash. 35 people died in a bus crash. And then, of course, we've got the sexual deviance, the satanic music as entertainment. You got women killing their babies. You got mass murderers, violent sports, economic disasters. Cults are increasing like crazy. False messiahs are popping up like Harold Camping, predicting the end of the world on certain dates. And new and more deadly diseases are spreading that are actually linked to radiation now because of what's going on at Fukushima. And if you saw that video I put on the site the other day, how many nuclear blasts were generated in our nation alone, not counting Russia and all the other countries that were testing nuclear warheads? It's a miracle. Everybody, it's amazing how not everybody is sick. You would think everybody would be, with all those nuclear explosions. I mean, it's literally going insane out there. In fact, there's actually articles wherein the reporters are showing their concerns for all this. One such article, and I put it in the, let me see if I put it in the notes here. Yeah. The headline reads, "Now for the news." And then it says, dot, dot, dot. And it says, "It's bad, really bad, and getting worse." And I got a little excerpt here from the article. And keep in mind, this isn't a Christian. This is just some news reporter. He says, "Revolutions, earthquakes, financial meltdowns, political scandals, famines and killings, the shattering headlines just keep coming this year. How can we find time to make sense of the information overload?" asked Zoe Williams. They always say too much disaster has the effect of inoculating the audience so that we don't care. But there is a level above that of so many disasters that you go beyond the inoculation effect into the Armageddon effect. And again, this guy's no Christian. So that's right. Even the secular news is running scared. So again, if you were approached 50 years ago and were given a newspaper with today's headlines in it, what would you think? It would be a real shocker, wouldn't it? But because we have been slowly conditioned day by day like a frog in the water, week after week and month after month, that this is how life is supposed to be now, not many people notice how bad it's really gotten out there, except for, of course, the last year or two because it's literally gone nuts. But still, there are three types of people that do notice. Number one, news reporters, right? I mean, it's obvious because that's their job. They're supposed to report the news, and when they see things happening, they write it down. But 9 times out of 10, the government officials who also notice this prevent them from talking about it. And then the other person, you got the news reporters, you got government officials, and then, of course, you've got preachers that preach present truth. So as I intimated a second ago, the problem here is the government forces the news reporters to cover it all up. So that means the only ones speaking about all this are the preachers of present truth. And we all know how society has been conditioned to ignore us remnant preachers lately, don't we? I mean, especially since Satan is busy making everyone hate the real Christians. He does this so the people will ignore the only people on the planet that are actually trying to warn them that they're in danger. And last but definitely not least, has anyone noticed how many articles have come up that speak of Sunday laws or other prophetic events that will help bring Sunday laws to fruition on my Sabbath Attack page? When I was moved on Tuesday to gather my notes for this Sabbath sermon, I counted how many articles I posted in just the last month alone, and I only counted 30 days back. I had 17 articles. That averages a little more than one article every other day if you count 30 days a month, right? And now we have a man running for president that is not only a friend to Islam and Rome, He is also purposely mixing church and state together in his campaign, just as we figured the Tea Party would be used by Rome to get him to do, or somebody else that would come up. Because we've known this for years. They've got to have a godly, supposedly, a godly man in office so as to bring about religious laws. And so what they have to do is they have to make evil men stand in office, more and more and more and more disgustingly evil, so that the people just, you know, gather in a grassroots movement, which they call now the Tea Party, and say, enough's enough. We got to get someone in there that's really serious about this. And if you look into Perry's, the Governor Perry of Texas, he's the one that I'm talking about here. It's amazing what this guy is. No Christian. He is doing just like Clinton or anybody else would do. If they see an opportunity to be elected by using the Christian right, they're going to go for it. Prophecy says there's going to be a church and state form of government that emulates the beast in Rome. And we are right now looking at the birth of that very image. All the churches have already agreed by their 501c3 tax-free status, you know, the contracts that they signed to become government agencies, and that was signed into law on March 7, 2006. And all the politicians are agreeing to preach as ministers from their pulpits. I mean, Michelle Bachmann, another one who's running for office, every Sunday she's in the church speaking political statements from a pulpit, which I think is so hypocritical. The law says you can't do that if you got a 501c3, but then a politician comes in and does exactly that. And still, most churches today ignore all this as if there's just but a speck of prophetic fulfillment within any of it. So why do I feel it's so important to compile and speak about these end time issues like this as I do every year or so? Because like I said, I think it was about almost 2 years ago that I touched on some of the things that I just mentioned here. But of course, a lot more stuff has happened in the last 2 years. Well, Sister White says in Maranatha, page 220, she says, the great controversy is nearing its end. Every report of calamity by sea or land is a testimony to the fact that the end of all things is at hand. Wars and rumors of wars declare it. Is there a Christian whose pulse does not beat with a quickened action as he anticipates the great events opening before us? The Lord is coming. We hear the footsteps of an approaching God. And I like the way she brings this up here. Do you recall in the Word of God where Mount Sinai quaked as our Heavenly Father descended upon it? I mean, it says in Exodus 19:18, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of the furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. The earth is not only quaking like this today. The animals are dying, the rivers are flooding, the weather is changing, the sun is literally doing things scientists cannot explain. Couldn't believe it when I was reading that article. They say for the laws of physics, as we understand it, they don't know what's going on in the sun, the surface of the sun. One scientist actually said, it looks like the sun's wrapped in its own time bubble, and it's in a different time frame than we are. That made me laugh out loud, like the first time I heard them say that a black hole hit the planet when the 1755 Lisbon earthquake. They'll come up with the strangest things to try to explain away what our Heavenly Father is doing. And then you also have the magnetic poles that are shifting so quickly that some airports had to shut down so they can repaint the landing strip markings on the landing strips so they'll better work with the aircraft that are relying on the compass. The planet is literally declaring to its inhabitants that its creator is very nearly here. This is why I altered my main page on my website back in 2009. I wanted a way where I could alert the people of God daily that we are very near the end. That's why you see the articles and the videos on the main page now. I only touch on articles and videos that have to do with the times we're living in. We must not let the fact that our Lord is very near be pushed on a back burner anymore. Sister White actually says here that, continuing on in Maranatha here, she says, this knowledge of the nearness of Christ, the nearness of Christ's coming, should not be allowed to lose its force. And we have become... and we become, you know, careless and inattentive and fall into slumber, into an insensibility and indifference to realities. In slumber, we are in an unreal world and not sensible of the things which are taking place around us. And I honestly believe the only, and because my site is like censored on Google. I mean, even though you put in remedygod.org, it pops up sometimes, but nowhere near as much as it should. So they censor me, but I still honestly believe the only reason the site gets as many hits as it does, even though it's censored, is because the truth that's shared here on a daily basis about our Lord's soon coming is what my Father needs his Son's bride to hear, and hear often. Most in the world are unaware of just how close we are to the arrival of our precious Savior, and they need to be warned. It's just like with the talents. You know, we were talking about this last night. If you do something for the Lord and he knows he can trust you to do it, he's going to allow you to do more for him and keep you doing it because he knows you'll do it. That's why I do it. So continuing, Maranatha, page 220, now on paragraph 3, it says, there are those who have the blazing light of truth shining all around them and yet are insensible to it. They are enchanted by the enemy, held under a spell by his bewitching power. They are not preparing for that great day, which is soon to come to our world. And let me finish this sentence here. She says, they seem utterly insensible to religious truth. Okay? The way I look at this is, you know how you got the 10 virgins sleeping, and you got the 5 that wake up, and they trim their lamps, and they're ready to go? You got the other 5 that wake up, too, but their lamps aren't, they don't have enough oil. There's a lot of Christians out there that just don't have enough oil. They're insensible to all this that's going on around them. They got blazing lights of truth all around them, letting them know we're near the end, and letting them know they're also not right with God. They're not ready to meet him, and they're not doing anything about it. They're not reading their Bibles daily. They're not sharing their faith daily, because sharing your faith is also part of gaining the blessings from heaven. We were talking about this last night. It's in selected messages about how when you share your faith, the Lord blesses you even more, so that you'll have more opportunities to share your faith. She goes on to say that, are there not some youth who are awake, those who see that the night cometh, and also the morning, should work with untiring energy to arouse their sleeping associates? Can they not feel their peril? Pray for them. And then show them by their own life and character that they believe themselves that Christ is soon to come? The rapidly diminishing space of time between us and eternity should more deeply impress us. Every day that passes makes one less left us to complete our work of perfecting character. As long as there are many asleep, many sporting away the precious hours in careless indifference, as it were, upon the very brink of the eternal world, those who do believe must be sober, must be awake, must be earnest and diligent, and watch unto prayer. Have you, dear youth, your lamps trimmed and burning? And then Psalm 114, verses 1 to 8 says, when Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah was his sanctuary, and Israel his dominion. The sea sought and fled. Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams, and the little hills like rams. What ailed thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest? Thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back? Ye mountains, that ye skipped like rams, and ye little hills like lambs. Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water, the flint into fountains of waters. Everything that's happening in the world, not just, and we can even ignore the economic disasters and the things that mankind's doing. The planet itself is just reeling at the presence of the Lord. He's coming soon. And then Romans 13:11-14 says, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. In other words, we know the end is coming. We understand the prophecies. We know we're not ready to live in the kingdom for eternity, the real meaning of life, never ending, never getting sick, never dying. But you have to be a saint before you can come into that kingdom and live. This should wake up many people when they look around and they see these things happening. And it's going to wake up many people because it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And as the prophecy stated long ago, thousands upon thousands are going to be getting saved in one day because you or me or somebody within our number is going to step up and start sharing their faith and letting the people know what's going on is prophesied. It was supposed to happen. You need to get right. He's about to be here any day now. And the more that message goes out and the more the pews start to empty, then you're going to see the Sunday laws getting enacted. We know what time it is. We can only do that which we are called in prophecy to do. And I hope and pray we do it. In Jesus' name.
Oh, there it is. All right. Oh, the solid rock? I don't know. Is it, okay, this is the one we're seeing now, the solid rock.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. I'm Christ myself and rock destined, for all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. I'm Christ my solid rock resting, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His hope, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. I'm Christ my solid rock resting, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, all of us to stand before the throne. I'm Christ my solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
If you can kneel, we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us with your presence. Thank you for giving us that which we need to go forth and do that you have prophesied we will do. Thank you for reminding us on a regular basis of everything that's going on in the world today, so that we can keep our lamps trimmed and ready to do that which we're supposed to be doing. Forgive us of our sins and forgive us of our lack of desire to do the work sometimes. And thank you for blessing those of us that do the work with amazing miracles, amazing answers to prayers, and amazing movements of your hand when we do the work. Thank you for blessing the work that is getting done, because many of us are doing it. But there still are some that haven't decided to do it yet. So we pray that all of us are in unity here in regards to going forth to proclaim this lasting message to the world, this present truth you have given us. Thank you again for giving us some confidence for my righteousness. In Jesus' name. Amen.